Earlier this year, the 2022 U.S. Olympic figure skating team was awarded the team event gold medal nearly 2 years after they competed in Beijing. This came after the Court of Arbitration for Sport reached a decision to retroactively disqualify 17-year-old Russian figure skater Kamila Valieva for doping. Valieva tested positive for a performance-enhancing drug called trimetazidine, which medical experts say can improve endurance and stamina. She tested positive for the substance 6 weeks before the Olympics, but in a controversial decision, was still allowed to compete while the investigation unfolded. While the story of Valieva is the most recent controversy, this narrative is nothing new for Russian athletes competing on the world stage.
It actually goes back to 2012, at least, that Russia has tainted the games and every game since 2012, including 22. We then also know at the 2014 Sochi Winter Olympic Games that were held in Russia, they literally were swapping dirty Russian athlete samples who had won medals at those 2014 games. When their samples, their urine samples, were sent to the laboratory that was run by the Russians on site, they literally were passing the dirty urine into a secure room where they unsecured the urine containers, emptied out the dirty urine so it wouldn't test positive, refilled it with clean urine, and then put that back into the Olympic laboratory run by the Russians, that then processed it, and they came out negative. So they completely tainted their own games.
That's Travis Tigert, the CEO of the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency. To his knowledge, widespread doping among Russian athletes has gone on for at least a decade, with the 2014 Sochi Winter Olympics held in Russia being the most egregious example. While doping is a global issue, Russia is unique in the fact that their doping is state-sponsored and their anti-doping agency is non-compliant with the world's anti-doping code.
So to think that Russian athletes are held to the same standard as other athletes is incredibly naive and frankly foolish. And we ought to wake up to the reality that those athletes who live in Russia are not subject to the same standards. They just simply can't be because their national program is not compliant.
If the Russian anti-doping agency refuses to comply, why aren't independent testers set in? Tigert says that with the current war, it's nearly impossible to get third-party verifications sent into Russia's borders. And with no oversight, we'll continue to see mishandled cases like Valieva's. In other countries, if an Olympic hopeful tested positive 6 weeks before the Games, the investigation would be resolved before competition began, not 2 years later. And while the rightful medalists have since been crowned, they were robbed of their once-in-a-lifetime moment on the podium. For these reasons, Valieva has received intense backlash, but Tigert says the blame shouldn't be placed squarely on her. In a country where doping is government-sponsored, are athletes really able to say no?
We frankly empathize with athletes who have to try to endure that pressure because it's awfully difficult to be the best without feeling the pressure that the system and the culture of elite level sport puts on you. And we certainly think that they are victims to a large extent. Now, they make their choice, but sometimes the choice, particularly in a place like Russia, if you want to be a sports person, most people would tell you you had to dope in order to be successful.
He adds that Valieva at the time was only 15 when she tested positive for the illegal substance. Sadly, she's not the only case of underage doping. According to the Associated Press, more than 1,400 children and teenagers have tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs since 2012, with the majority of positive tests stemming from Russia, India, and China. When an adult gets caught doping, it's clear that they knew what they were getting into. But the same can't be said in these cases.
The underage use is the most troubling that we see in sports. When an adult makes a decision to use something, barring coercion, they have made a decision for themselves and then they are expected to take responsibility for that. When we see young athletes, particularly those who may not have been aware of what they were using, the reason for using it, or even the repercussions of that use, then we have to ask questions about who's advising them, whether that's coaches, agents, parents, whoever that is. But, when these are people not of majority age, it's hard to hold them accountable in the same way that we hold adults who we expect to be fully understanding of the rules, to hold them to that same standard.
That's April Henning, Assistant Professor of International Sports Management in the Edinburgh Business School at Harriet Watt University in Scotland. Though we can debate who's at fault, either way, Russia's garnered international attention for their rampant cheating, and this will be on display during the 2024 Paris Olympics. Due to their non-compliance with anti-doping regulations, as well as the ongoing war in Ukraine, all Russian athletes will compete under a neutral status rather than representing their home country. Unfortunately, they'll undergo the same testing process as everyone else, and as of now, won't be subject to any stricter requirements.
We will see some out-of-competition tests in the lead-up to the games, so particularly in that month or so in the run-up to the games, but then also as the athletes are arriving at the Olympics themselves. Then during the event, there will be a host of sort of post-event testing, so often they will choose the sort of podium finishers and then some others. They will be taken, they will be given their, usually it's a urine test. It can sometimes be a blood test, but it's most often a urine test. So it's down to usually the national anti-doping agency or the regional anti-doping agency for wherever the event is being held. So in this case, I would expect that it would be the French anti-doping agency, potentially working with the international sport governing bodies and potentially some other independent testing agencies as well to collect these samples.
If caught doping, Olympians are automatically disqualified and can face a multi-year ban from their sport. But as these consequences loom over athletes, we know from the past that there are ways to skirt around anti-doping protocols. That's why Tigert and the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency are calling for the World Anti-Doping Agency, or WADA, to enforce stricter and more comprehensive testing requirements and punishments.
We've been so outspoken about this Russia situation because Lance Armstrong got caught and got a lifetime ban. Coaches were suspended. Team director was suspended, got lifetime bans. Doctors got lifetime bans. The same hasn't happened to Russia. And the message that that sends, unfortunately, is, hey, even if you get caught red-handed with your hand in the cookie jar and you just get a small slap on the wrist, nothing is going to prevent you from putting your hand back in the cookie jar. And that's why we've been so frustrated by how the system, WADA in particular, as well as the International Olympic Committee, has dealt relatively ineffectively without putting meaningful consequences in place that will stop the cheating behavior and bring the Olympic movement back to the values that it's founded on, which is respect for your competitors, clean, pure competition that we all can believe in and have confidence in.
The next big test is about 4 months away as the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris kick off at the end of July. To find out more about Travis Tigert, April Henning, and all of our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. This segment was written and produced by Grace Galanti. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. Coming up next week.
All that was a direct rebuke to the messaging that we get as older women, that we're sort of on this downhill slide of cognitive decline and frail bones, and certainly, you know, we're boring.
A lesson on venturing outside your comfort zone. Then,
they're very able to put up with noise and traffic and all the other disturbances that humans bring to the environment.
Our long and complicated coexistence with white-tailed deer. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.